electronic communications going here. Yeah, that looks good. All right, Samson and Delilah. Well, I guess actually we start out, first of all, with Samson and the harlot. And that's probably where we should start today. So in terms of the timeline, where you're going to be at, because we're going to look at all of Judges 16, you're going to be starting out with Samson and the harlot, which we really don't know exactly where that would have taken place. It's somewhere in this period of Samson judging for 20 years. But we do know that the rest of chapter 16 all ends up like right here. We're going to be right at that point at the end of Samson's life. You're at the end of the 20-year period of judgment. I think one of the impressive things that comes out of all this is that Samson's original weakness of his eyes for women is you can see that this is a consistent problem for him all through his life. It doesn't matter how much you're spiritually growing through your life in the truth. You're going to find that the weaknesses that you had when you were young, a lot of them are just built in genetically into your body, and there's nothing you can do about them other than to fight them. But they're not going to go away. And I can still remember my grandpa telling me when he was about ready to die in his late 70s, and he said he couldn't believe how he was still fighting the same things that he had fought when he was a young person. And that's the way it is. So for those of you thinking somehow that you are going to come to youth conference and you're going to go to Bible schools and you're somehow going to go through this pathway where you just like spiritually grow and the weaknesses of the flesh are just going to be like subdued, they will be there with you the rest of your life. It's a battle that you fight. That's why when you're reading Bible books like Romans 7 and Romans 8, you find the Apostle Paul talking about after his conversion, after his life in the truth, for all Paul had been through, he's still talking about there's this war in his head between what he wants to do and what his body wants to do. And it's a mental war that we're fighting. So God has basically given us this body, which has a mind that develops the fleshly mind in it. And it's in there, in the genes, physically in us. And what he's trying to do is grow a spiritual mind in us that fights that. And sometimes is successful, you know, for many times during the day. But all you're getting with Samson is these little glimpses of pockets of his life. If you think about it, over the 20 years that he reigned, as a judge, at least when he's a judge, you really don't know very much about what he did during that 20 years. All we're getting is little pieces of, a little glimpse of a month here, a day here, 3 months here, whatever it happens to be. It's not very long periods of time. So that's where we are in terms of the timeline. As far as what happens in Samson's life at this point in time, he's going to go from way up here where he's living all the way down to going to the harlot. He's going to go all the way down to Gaza. And how he actually went, the pathway, we're not really sure, but it's quite a while. It's a good hike. It's probably 65 kilometers for all of you from the from Canada, and maybe about 40 miles for the rest of us to go find this harlot. It doesn't seem like he actually goes down there to find a harlot. What Samson seems to be doing is he's constantly interacting with the Philistine area. And while he's there, he happens to see the harlot. But what in the world he's doing down there, it's an interesting concept about his life that he spends a lot of time over in the Philistine areas over there. That might be something you could discuss as to why in the world he did that. In fact, when you get to the point where at the end when he's in the temple, it's interesting to note that he probably had seen this temple before because he knows how it's built and he wants to be leaning on the pillars. So, you know, a blind man coming into a building for the first time would never have any idea as to how this thing was laid out and built. He seems to know the structure of the building, which probably means he's seen it before. So it's not new to him. So that's where he goes. It's a long hike to get all the way down to Gaza right there. But then later on in life, and we're not really sure in the events as to how much time takes place, but then later on you find out he falls in love with this woman from the Valley of Sorek up there with Delilah, and that's a whole different story. Delilah is an interesting character. You may want to talk about her, although there's speculation. We don't really know whether she was a Philistine or whether she was a Hebrew or whether she was somebody from a whole different world. But what we do know about Delilah is that she was a woman who was up there. She was a controller. She reminds me like a Jezebel. She's got the lords of the Philistines in her hand. She's got Samson in her hand. She is the one who is in control in this chapter. And it's interesting to watch. She's just definitely a powerful woman of this world. And she reminds you of people that you'd send out to, you know, be involved in spy situations where you send a woman out to get information out of somebody. And she was very good at what she was doing. So that's an interesting one to talk about as to Delilah in terms of like what she's doing. That's just basically where she was at. It's only about 4 to 6 miles to get there from where Samson was living to where Delilah was at. So she's really on the borderline as to between Judah and the Philistines, and nobody's really sure for sure. But there are some hints. I remember John Martin, when he was giving his classes, he thought there was enough hints there to suggest that maybe she was an Israelite because of the language that she uses about the Philistines. But I don't know if we know that for sure. Things that you want to look for today as you're going through your discussions. Samson, what in the world was he thinking when he's going down to Gaza? Now, I don't think he went there to find the harlot, but while he's there, he finds the harlot. So in terms of lessons that come out, yeah, and certainly you can see that when we go investigating places of this world and things and areas that we really shouldn't go, that's when we run into people sometimes that we really are better off not knowing. And then the whole story about carrying away the gates of the city, and he takes them up to the top of the hill that faces Hebron out there, that's an interesting discussion as well as to what in the world is happening there. I don't think he actually carried them all the way to Hebron. He carried them up a hill that would be facing down towards Hebron. Samson really was a godly man, but he had some ungodly sexual habits, and I think some of you have talked about lately about how godly girls can help guys like Samson, because let's face it, you ladies, this is not just for the guys, this section. I think girls can learn something from this as well, because what you want to take from this story, though, is how you can be more helpful in our community to deal with people like Samson's that are in our community right now. They're not ungodly boys. They're boys that have been born with a desire that they're fighting, and we want to assist people in their walk in the truth. We don't want to make it worse for them. So that's a good discussion you can have. It's also good to keep remembering that just because people have bad habits doesn't mean they're bad people. And you're seeing this pop up in Samson's life periodically. But overall, Hebrews 11 tells us this was a godly man that God was working with, and he simply had weaknesses that God is trying to get him to deal with. So Samson, it certainly tells us about how important it is to pray for and find a godly spouse. I think that's a good one that will come up. And why Samson didn't look amongst the children of Israel over this 20-year period that he's judging, why he didn't find a wife amongst his own community is a really good question. But it's one to puzzle, and sometimes people in our community run into this same problem. I think it's interesting to note why Samson didn't realize that Delilah didn't really love him. That tells you, at least for you guys, how blind you can become when you fall in love. Those that you think that you stand, take heed lest you fall, because all of a sudden that right girl will come along someday, and you will just be like Jell-O in her hand, and she will just roll you around, and you become a different person. And this is what you're watching with Samson. It's a warning to all the guys that you have to be careful. This is something all of us could go through as to why you're careful about what that group of people is that you're willing to date and you're willing to marry. You have to limit the parameters to down to people that are godly people, because the girls of this world can really, they can really work with us in ways we just don't imagine. But Samson should have. You think over all those time periods, Samson should have caught on. But that indicates how blind love can be. So Samson failed to conquer his sexual weaknesses. And so what did God do to help him? Because God promises he will help us work on our weaknesses. And he did in this case. And then when Samson gave in to his own desires, who did he let down? I think that's a good question. Some of you have looked at that already this week about how primarily we let down God. Primarily. But then there are also others that we let down when we go through this. The people of the community, he let them down. He could no longer fight the Philistines for those people he was judging. And that must have, while he's grinding that grain, it must have just irked him and ate him out that because of his weaknesses and what he gave into his little fun life he wanted to have, that cost him now for all of his family, all of his people back in Dan, the whole mission he had set out on seeking an inheritance for Dan, it was lost because of what he had done. And God does forgive repentant sinners, but that's important to realize that when we make big mistakes, no matter how big the mistakes are, there's never a point where you can't come back. And we all have to know that about ourselves if we make mistakes, and about other people if they make mistakes. We can't set up walls and roadblocks for which somebody cannot come back. God always has pathways for people to come back. And he uses these mistakes with some people in order to grow their spiritual life. It's part of the program that he uses. And it's different for each person. But although we sit there and think, you know, as young people, well, I could get away with this, I could do that, and there's always a pathway back, you got to remember you have to live with the consequences. And there are usually consequences from big mistakes. And so that you got to be careful of that, because in this case, Samson's consequences were huge to lose his eyes like that, and that forever affected his effectiveness of working in his community anymore. He realized he'd lost his ability to be a judge. He couldn't go back and do it, even if he got freed from the Philistines. And those are the kind of things we have to think through as well. And certainly we can learn a lot about God's mercy and his compassion because of how he dealt with Samson. I think those are really great lessons to realize that our God is merciful. As much as he hates sin and he's wishing that we would make good choices, when we do make bad choices at times, if we're on a godly pathway but we mess up, he is willing to forgive if we are repentant, and he's willing to work with us, and he will rebuild our lives. So that's great to know about our God, his mercy and his compassion. And for a lot of us, our problem is we have to learn to be like God, because some of us sitting here right now are not that way naturally. I know that Sue and I discuss that all the time about by nature, how we grew up and our culture we were in, as to whether we tended to be compassionate or judgmental people. And the pendulum swings back and forth, and very rarely does anybody actually get right in the middle like Jesus was. But most of us tend to either be a very compassionate person or we tend to be a very judgmental person, and we're always trying to come back to center. And stories like this help us. So have fun, and this morning should be great. But that's the end of Samson today. Enjoy it while it lasts.